I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
It's 2013.
Welcome to 2013.
We lived! We made it!
Hey! Good. Woo. Congrats to us.
Huh? Yeah, good job, everybody.
Yeah. I think everyone, Mayans.
Everyone put a real effort in.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. Good job, everybody.
Yeah.
Way to pull through.
So, we're doing another mixtape.
Yeah. This controversial mixtape series.
I don't think anyone liked it.
Nope.
I think you and I did. But hey,
Well, our music episodes are already sort of the subject of consternation for
the listeners.
At least certain listeners.
Yeah. We've done several music episodes, right?
Yeah.
We did a bonus episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
We've done a few. Yeah.
We indulge ourselves.
Yeah.
Deal
but
with
hey,
it.
That's what this is. This is technically our New Year's episode, so we're going to indulge.
Yeah.
We're going to celebrate.
Yeah. We put out a bunch of shows that you loved, and now we're going to do one you don't. Deal with it.
So these are similar to our summer mixtape.
Yeah.
These are not necessarily songs about winter.
Sure.
But these are the songs that we're listening to right now, this
winter.
In the winter,
sort of the fall as well, right?
Yeah, coming out of the fall into the winter. But this is getting released, right, sort of just initially as winter is getting going.
Yeah.
So this you can use this as your winter soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah,
if you're
yeah.
so inclined, or you can never listen to it again.
Yeah.
That's fine, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go with my first song.
All right.
And so winter, I have a tendency to revisit a lot of things. I do. I mean, I do that seasonally anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I have summer songs that I always listen to in the summer. Mm. I have winter songs I always listen to the winter, whatnot. But I listen to a lot of New Order and Joy Division in the winter,
okay.
I find. And I think it's just because I first started listening to that line of music in the winter.
Okay.
Like, I remember almost literally the day after Christmas one year, sort of discovering New Order.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, this is really good. And then eventually going on from there.
All right.
So I'm going to kick things off. 2013 is kicking off with this little ditty from 1980.
All right.
Called Serum.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
who is it?
New Order.
New Order. New Ceremony. Order.
Ceremony.
Yeah.
That was the originally it was a Joy Division song. I think it was maybe the last Joy Division song that they worked on before Ian Curtis committed suicide, and then the band carried on.
Nice.
So they already had that ready to go, and they were just like, "Well, like, sorry, Ian, I guess."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said nice right after you talked about that guy committing suicide.
Yeah.
I don't mean like that's nice.
Way to be insensitive. I just mean that. Kicking off 2013, New Year's resolution.
I just mean good job. It was very 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it kind of reveled.
It's foundational 80s.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's good. I liked it. Had what I have dubbed a fade out, fake out towards the end there. It seemed like we were about to be done with the song. It was going to fade out on a beat.
Drums.
And then it was like, nope, we got a little bit left.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. I've got a song. This doesn't necessarily remind me of winter, but it's what I've been. It's a song and an album that I've been listening to a lot in the past few months, and will continue to listen to. It's a song. I think I talked last time about Band of Skulls, and they had a song that I really like where it seemed like the beat couldn't catch up. The song couldn't catch up to itself.
Uh-huh.
I really liked. This has a sort of similar feel, not so much that it can't catch up to itself, but I feel like the band members are all racing each other in this. That there's like if you were to track each band member as a line, right, running a race, that at certain points different band members are in the lead and it kind of
so we're
progresses.
Like watching one of those like we're at a carnival and we're watching one of those
horse
racing games where you throw the balls down.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Except that these horses are carrying like guitars and stuff.
Yeah, and saxophones.
Yeah,
and trumpets and trombones. Because the band is Streetlight Manifesto, and they're sort of a ska-ish. Maybe they're like fourth wave ska. I don't know.
Skish.
Yeah.
Squash.
They're ska.
Squash.
I mean, they're ska, but they have a lot of different stylistic avenues they go down. The song is called We Will Fall Together.
Catch us, I will catch ourselves. And when we run, we will run. together. No one will catch us, and we'll catch ourselves. But when we run, we will run forever. No one will understand what we meant.
I see what you're saying about like
the race.
Mm-hmm. I love how even more than that, I get the sense that like I have no idea how many people are in this band.
Yeah.
And it seems like new things are being introduced constantly. And like I'm picturing people like sort of
fighting
for attention.
Like there's one microphone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're all trying to get in front of it.
Yeah.
I love how frantic it sounds.
Yeah.
And like chaotic. And it's And despite that, it's so well composed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tight in those like transitions and everything.
Yeah.
It's very, very tight and streamlined. Sweet sax, too.
Yeah.
That's some good sax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not enough sax in music.
Not enough good sax.
Not enough good sax, yeah.
I think there's plenty of sax. Well, it's just not very good.
It's not good, yeah. Quality control. Speaking of which. So, sax is a big part of, I mean, I love saxophone in rock and roll anyway.
Okay.
But I mean, you can't really, I don't think you could get any more saxalicious than.
Any more saxy?
Than Clarence Clemons from the E Street Band.
Oh my.
Who passed away earlier this year.
Oh, that's right.
And ever since then, like, I can't listen to certain songs. Like, there are certain Springsteen songs that I've always thought were really good and always sort of like get me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since he passed away, I get to moments in certain songs now and I can't help but not think about him and like the fact that he passed away. And mm-hmm. I don't know, like these songs suddenly, it's almost like these songs have always been very personal to me, and now I feel like they're not my songs anymore.
Huh.
And it's not like in a bad way.
Right.
It's like suddenly it's like he took them back. It's like he like when he died, he was like, no, Jungle Land, that's my song.
You know? Wow.
Like pay attention to me.
Nice.
Man. Yeah.
Nice.
So this one I came out of the fall. I listened to the album Born to Run probably once a month at least. Just
okay.
Straight through. But, and I had never ever made this connection until this time. I was watching a baseball game, Cardinals game,
mm-hmm.
back in the fall with some people, and the phrase "freeze out" was relayed. I don't know, you know, the announcer
right,
whatever
okay.
said "freeze out," you know?
Yeah.
And a friend of mine said, "Do you think that's where Springsteen got the idea for that song? 10th Avenue Freeze Out?" And it's a terrible association,
yeah.
but now like it ran through my head constantly for like the last couple of months. And so now like it's not my favorite song on that album, but I have a renewed sense of anticipation when I feel that this song coming on.
Nice.
This is Springsteen.
Seem like the whole world walking pretty, and you can't find one room change was made up time and the big man joined the band. From the coastline to the city, all the little brown whales of hells. I'm gonna sit back right easy and laugh. Well, the school and the big man plus the city in a hell. Ted Devenu freeze out. Ted Devenu freeze out. Ted Devenu freeze out. Ted Devenu freeze out. Talk about a town. Yeah, nothing but a town. I'm talking about the town. Yeah, nothing but a town. Town, 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 town. I'm talking about the town. Town, 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 freeze out. Town, town, freeze out.
Have
it. Town, 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 town.
I wanted to just keep going.
Town, town, town.
Yeah. I like him to like fake you out every once in a while. He'd be like, because he does it like once.
He does, yeah.
But then he quickly goes into it.
His reeling back, I love it.
Man, that was groovy. That had some groovy riffs to it, man. And I would, I think I would love to hear that song in like a dark, smoky piano bar.
Yeah,
with bad audio.
Yeah,
so you know what I mean, like. It, like the not maybe they don't even have speakers, so they have to rely solely on the instrument's ability to project.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah,
I always question the saxophone in a band. Like, mm-hmm. if I see a saxophone in a band, I'm like, really? Unless it's used well.
Yeah,
man, that was good.
He knows how to use it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've got this. Doesn't have saxophone in it. This next song. So this one I. There's really no reason for the in it so much as the song itself that it relates to winter. Mm-hmm. But I always think of winter with this song because it came out when I was in high school, and it was when I was in my phase of listening to 105.7 The Point, which at the time was the alternative rock sort of station, right? A lot of mainstream stuff, but for some reason they played this song, and I can't remember if it was a snow day or if I thought the song was called Snow Day. All I remember,
you connect this to snow days.
Yeah, and I think I might have even, like, I heard the song, I didn't hear what they had called it, or maybe thought I only thought I had heard it. Mm-hmm. And I called the station. I was like, what's that snow day song?
You actually called the
station? I think I did, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've called radio stations before.
Really?
Oh, yeah, when I want to know what a thing is. And so this song, it's not called Snow Day. It's called Level on the Inside, and it's by a band called Dovetail Joint. And I bought the whole album, and the album's not very good. But this is a song that I really like, and... there is so much like teen emotion and angst applied to this song for me. I don't know why this became like sort of the anchor or something, or like the heat sink for all of my everything that I can remember feeling as a teenager is attached to this song for whatever reason.
Oh, wow.
Which makes me think about winter, not just because of the snow day stuff, but also just like I always think of
the teen condition.
Yeah. I kind of equate it to the winter, you know, feeling kind of down,
the
or
winter of your discontent.
Dismal. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is Dovetail Joint with Level on the Inside.
If you sit me down to explain all the trials you've endured, around and around, the refrain rings the same each time it's heard. Entertain the notion. The
I don't even know what to say. Like, I've never heard that song.
Yeah.
I've never heard it, and I have no idea. Like, if you told me, I mean, you just did. You just told me that you heard that in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here thinking, really?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like, I mean, that had to have, I don't know, like, fallen through a crack or something.
Yeah.
And, like, never gotten played again. Like,
right.
Did they?
I don't know, man. I think I heard it again on the radio, but no one else knew this song.
Oh, yeah,
you know what? I can remember one person knowing this song later that I met in college, and I was blown away that she knew this song. And I was like, wow, no one knows this song.
Were you a DJ?
Yeah. It's so 90s, and
yeah,
I'm sorry, everyone, for imposing that on you. But man, it's you're right, though. It totally fell through the cracks. And I don't think they had any other singles or anything.
Yeah, do you know
like
anything
that.
About the band? Like, what happened to them?
No. The album's not good. It's pretty much the best song on the album.
Wow.
Yeah, in my opinion.
There was that period, though, like, and I mean, it was great because you could have like one-offs like that where, like, anytime I think there's like this major shift in the popularity of one form or another, like, it sort of opens the doors because nobody really knows what they can get away with or what, like, what's going to play well, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember like MTV back, like, right as like alternatives started becoming a thing, they would play like more punk videos and they would do, you know, just anything that was like not of the norm.
Yeah.
Like that seems to be the distinction when there's a movement coming through and it hasn't been completely defined.
They're trying
yet.
To find,
they haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't know. Yeah. They don't know what the definition is. So they're throwing everything at you and just hoping like
sadly,
one of them will work.
Dovetail Joint just
didn't quite
hold.
Stick.
But that stuck with me. There you go.
That's good.
And I still, I still genuinely enjoy that song.
I can see you jamming over there. I got a connection for you on this one.
All right.
So this is a new song, newer song.
New song.
2012 song.
What?
But the emotion that it evokes is definitely like teenagery, lots of yearning. Trying to hold on to something that you know has to end,
okay,
but you don't want it to end.
All right.
This is No Doubt.
Oh.
This is off No Doubt's newest album, which is called
Push and Shove.
Push and Shove.
Push and Shove.
And so this version, this is actually not an official version.
A special version?
It's an acoustic version of a song that's on the album called One More Summer.
All right. Wait.
Even though it's winter.
You can't.
I've been wasting all this time, but I can't let go. 'Cause it's just the way I feel. Summer, one more weekend, I'm yours.
That's much better in that version
than the other. Yeah,
and I like the other version too.
I think the one that's actually on the album.
Yeah.
Album proper. I think it sounds, the one that's on the album sounds more in line with everything else on the album.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like everything on that album has kind of the same feel.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a detrimental way, but I do think, like, I think there's so much more emotion that comes through on that one. And it changes the tenor of the song,
absolutely.
I think, the way it's treated there. I almost think, like, the traditional version is, or the album version is sort of a straightforward, one-note kind of thing.
It feels, too, that it's maybe not so much a celebration, but at least not nearly as desperate.
It's not, yeah, exactly. You know, it feels so much desperation in her voice there.
In the original version, just sort of acknowledging the end of something and, and in a way celebrating, like, the what was good about it. Yeah. Whereas, like, that version is...
It's almost, and it even, like, just listening to it that time, I almost got like a transition within that song. Mm-hmm. Like at the beginning, she's almost like lamenting the fact that, like, yeah, we just keep doing this over and over again. You know, we really need to move on. And then throughout the middle of the song, then it's almost like you can almost hear this like desperate cling in her voice. She's like, you know, no, I don't want to let it go. And that the fighting back and forth, the trumpet.
That trumpet. Yeah.
I don't know. Man. The only thing I can think of is maybe they were afraid or opposed to the idea that could become a single and then they get big again on another ballad, you know?
Wow, but it's so good.
It's such a good one.
It would have, I think, I like that album overall, but I do think it suffers from sameness.
Yes.
And that would have been a really nice change of pace on that album.
And I think that's what sort of made, like they got big on Tragic Kingdom, and part of the reason why I think Tragic Kingdom works is because there are so many different aspects to it, and that could have been the differentiating factor on this album.
But that was good. Perfect. Anyway. Perfect winter song.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you.
All right, well, I have one from 2012, too. Against All Odds, I love this song. Oh, man. I shouldn't.
I'm a little bit worried now.
I shouldn't love this song because I'm anti, you know, like I'm against the mainstream.
Yeah.
And I'm a unique individual and I don't like things that everyone else likes. So I shouldn't like this song, but I love this song.
Oh.
Oh my God, do I love it. And I hear it and I get excited and jazzed. So you're probably depressed now. You just heard that song and it depressed the hell out of you. Despite having an amazing trumpet.
Pick me up, man. Come on, pick me up.
So let me pick you up and give you a purpose and give you a marching song, a charge with Some Nights by Fun.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off. But I still wake up, I still see a ghost. Oh Lord, I'm still not sure what I stand for.
Believe the hype, see that for the black kid. Wash my hands of that for this. I miss my mom and dad for this. No. When I see stars, when I see stars, that's all they are. When I hear songs, they sound like a swan. So come on, come on, come on. Well, the calm that she call off. And then I look into my nephew's eyes. Man, you wouldn't believe the most amazing things that can come from some terrible night.
I think he's talking to Gwen Stefani at the end.
Maybe.
For the best we get our distance.
I kind of like that picture, yeah.
You know, like
she's kind of like, who are
she
you?
Had just yeah. sang One More Summer to him, and he's like,
nah, yeah, I better leave. I better go. Yeah. Oh, man. I am so glad you included that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I talking about a revolution, like,
yeah,
first time I heard that, I was really, really put off by it, and uh-huh. I think I was just put off by the band in general, and I was put off
yeah,
by
they're weird,
they're weirdos, and I think the first time I saw them, they were on the Colbert Report,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get the song, you know,
yeah.
like it just sounded like a lot of discordant mm-hmm. mess to me. And I didn't get them. They weren't funny,
yeah.
you know, in their interview. And I think that kind of maybe colored it a little bit.
yeah.
But I just, and there are still some things about it. The affectation of the voice, of that dude's voice at the very end. Just the one time at the mm-hmm. very end where it starts to kind of go all over the place at the very end. Still kind of, still mm-hmm. not there. But man, I heard that. I don't know. I guess I was feeling down or something
yeah.
one night. And I happened to hear that song. And it like hit me right in yeah. the right place, smacked me in the face, and yeah. was like, "Come on, man!
Yeah,
get up!"
I really love his voice.
Yeah, I think it works.
It's
I
very
think
it, he. Well, it kind of goes all over the place. You know, at times it's very Freddie Mercury esque.
Yeah,
you know, and like ridiculously so.
Somebody on Twitter referred to him as Carly Simon wrapped in a Mark Wahlberg bodysuit,
oh, oh, God.
Which I thought was awesome.
Wow. I love the drums in that song.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed, this is the first time I noticed this. So the part that has bothered me about that song, though it may not anymore, is the bit where he's auto-tuned.
The
up and down, which I was kind of like, well, why do that? You know, he's clearly a really good singer and there's no need for it. But this time I noticed that at the end of that auto-tuning, his voice breaks.
Huh.
And so what I you know, auto-tune, its creation was originally to fix, you know, missteps
out,
in singing. And on an otherwise great track, you could kind of, you know, fix a little issue here and there. And you could... Mm-hmm. You know, auto-tune employed well, you don't notice it.
Yeah.
But then it became sort of a tool to make something sound a little different and sort of digital and stuff. And so the fact that he ends that auto-tuning bit with screwing up to a certain degree. I love that. And now I think I might really enjoy the auto-tuning because it's, to me, it's clearly like, you know, we used auto-tune in a way that everyone's using it where it's totally not used for its intended purpose. And then we totally blatantly push that forward by messing up the end of that purpose. Bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like everything about that song and what I love, I think overall, the, that it's constantly back and forth, constantly shifting back and forth. And it, I think that the uncertainty probably connects, you know, culturally now, you know, and I think it not only is arguably like the song of the year.
Yeah.
I think it's even could even have bigger implications than that. Like, I think it could reach a lot further. You know, I think 10 years down the line, I think it's one of the songs that people remember about this era or this
decade. Did they win a Grammy?
I don't know. I don't know. Have they even had the Grammys yet?
I thought some, I don't know. I thought maybe Ashley told me they won a Grammy.
They did.
Yeah, I can't believe I like that song. It's a good album too.
It's a great, overall the whole album is pretty good. And it's, but I think I was thinking about this listening to it too. Like, it's such a great starting point that like it, I feel like they always have to open with it.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they can close out. It's not a closer. It's not a closer, but it's obviously it's their biggest hit, you know. So
do you
think
they close?
I don't know. I'm curious. I'd love to see. I'd like to see them live anyway, but I would be most especially
curious.
How
awesome would they to hear that opening the set?
Yeah. And the question is then, can you sustain it, you know, through the performance? I don't know. I think they I'd give them a shot. I think
I would too.
I think they could. All right. Speaking of good voices, powerful voices. Well, yeah. I mean, this guy has a good voice. Destroyer is a band, but it's not a band. I mean, it is a band. It's really just one dude.
Okay.
This guy. And he's been doing this thing. I think he's in another band too. But Destroyer is like his long running project, and he puts out an album every year or so. But this is my favorite song off of what I think is their best album called Destroyer's Rubies.
Ooh.
And this...
Are they all gem related?
No.
Aww. I was hoping they were like Destroyer's Emeralds. Destroyer's Amethyst.
No, I don't think there's really any kind of like connection. Aww. The last one was called Kaput.
Ugh.
Which is kind of it's a cool name.
I guess.
Yeah. This is called Painter in Your Pocket.
It was a welcome change from the sight of you hanging like a willow off the arm of yet another visionary prophetess East Van Punk. Couldn't stand at all. You looked okay with the others. You look great on your own. It was 2002 and you couldn't be bothered to say hello or goodbye or stand the test of time. You did. I just tried to separate an ocean from these tears we cry. Destruction in the way you talk. Where did you get that ride? Where did you get that rocket? Where did you get that painter in your pocket? Stick together and hey, so do we go.
didn't stand a chance, I didn't stand at all. You looked okay with the others, you looked great by yourself. It was 2002 and you needed reminding to stay alive. And so did I, but at least I tried to fall upon that sword and never look back. Did you get that look? Where did you get that penchant for destruction in the way you talk? Where did you get that ride? Where did you get that rocket? Where did you get that painter in your pocket? Where did you get that line? Where did you get that look? Where did you get that penchant for destruction in the way you talk? Where did you get that ride? Where did you get that rocket? Where did you get that painter in your pocket?
Was strange.
I don't know what it's about. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, and I kind of love that about it. I think what I think most appeals to me is I really like, I can't think of any other way to describe it other than literary, but really what basically just is cramming a lot of words into a song. And the I guess sort of like rhythmic winks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I really like the strange cadence overall.
Yeah.
So odd and kind of offbeat.
Yeah.
And I don't mean offbeat as in it wasn't with the beat, but even though, I mean, sometimes it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like that.
Yeah.
It kind of like, you know, weaved through.
Yeah, it just meanders.
Yeah, yeah. It took a little
walk. Sing-songy, but then a little bit out of it.
I like it when a song references the 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can't. My mind just can't process that being in the past. Like, remember in 2002? What do you mean? That's the future.
Yeah,
yeah. That's love that. I love, and I guess we have to get used to that. That's going to be happening more often.
2002 is 10 years ago.
I know, man. I like it. I'm always a sucker for a song that starts musically. Sort of simple, you know, one instrument and a voice, and then a full band comes in, you know, a ways into the song. I always enjoy that punch that happens.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Weird, but good.
Good?
A strange one. So you said Destroyer, so this isn't this guy's main
I think that's like his primary project. But his name is Dan Behar, Canadian dude.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see what else. He has done a lot of stuff. He was in the New Pornographers.
Okay.
That's, I think, I think of that as being his like main band, even though I think he was doing Destroyer stuff before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in Swan Lake.
No.
Hello, Blue Roses. He's had a whole bunch of bands.
Hmm.
Yeah, but Destroyer is kind of his thing.
Okay.
And it's a weird thing.
Well, I have no way to relate the next song to that. when did that come out?
That was 2006.
Oh, okay. Well, this came out this year. You know, I don't know that I necessarily equate it with Winter. It's so new that I don't know what to equate it with yet.
Yeah.
But it came out very recently, and maybe it will remind me of Winter someday. But I just felt kind of like I wanted to get a song from one of these albums onto this mix because we talked about them
in a previous episode. We talked about the upcoming albums, and it's Green Day with a song called Lazy Bones.
The best song out of the entire Uno, Dos, Tres run. And I liked it instantly the first time I heard it. The first time I heard a segment of it, I was really taken with it. And I think over time, what's become clear to me is the reason that I like it is because, I mean, it sounds distinct from everything else on the albums. It's really the only song that sounds like that sounds. And I think the thing is, it sounds like a natural progression for Green Day. Too much, if I have a chief criticism of all three of those albums, it's that they don't sound like enough of a progression. It's not that, like, I guess the typical complaint is like, oh, they tried something new and now they don't sound like the, you know, it's not the sound that I like anymore.
Right.
And I don't think that's the problem with it. I think it sounds too much like older stuff.
I think they go in so many different directions. With those three albums, that it's you can't really say like it's a progression, because any one song could be that progression. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think that is the best song. Mm-hmm. And I'm still sort of waiting to make my decree. Because I'm still sort of, you know, absorbing Trey, which is the final album that just came out. But I had the same reaction. The first time I heard it, I was like, this is really good.
Yeah.
You know, and that has not changed upon repeated listenings. It feels so much like a Green Day song to me, mm-hmm. but it feels so, you know, they did these two concept albums in a row, right? The American Idiot 21st Century Breakdown. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted next was just an album of songs, you know, not necessarily concept album, just an album. Mm-hmm. And that song, Lazy Bones, I want to hear the album that's from.
That's exactly it. That's what the whole album needs to sound like. Their next album needs, that's where it needs to be. I totally agree.
Yeah. And I really like the trilogy of albums as just a collection of songs, you know.
Yeah.
There's some really great stuff in there. There's some stuff that's not that great. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just sort of the sort of glut of songs
you're gonna get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. But that is the standout track so far. And if their next album is like if they take Lazy Bones, even if they put it on that album.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be really excited.
I'd be fine with that too. Yeah. Put that in a new context. And just, give it to me again. I like it. All right. I'm closing out literally with a song that I actually just downloaded today.
Wow.
I've heard it maybe two or three times.
Okay.
But I'm really into it. And I think what I find most remarkable about it is the circumstances. Like, I never would have anticipated being into it. And I initially was very, very angry when I learned about it.
Oh, no.
So,
will I be angry?
No, I don't think. Well, you might, because you're going to have to listen to it. And I don't think you enjoyed it. But so the members of Nirvana recently reunited.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl from Nirvana and the Foo Fighters has directed a documentary about a recording studio in Hollywood. And I guess what's happening is he's written a bunch of songs to be on the soundtrack rather than using existing songs. And he's gotten a bunch of people to come together and, no pun intended, and play these songs, record these songs with him.
Yeah.
And so the single... you can't really start off, I think, with a bigger bang than this in terms of getting attention. And it's worked. I mean, he's sort of all over with this. So this is the members of Nirvana, Chris Novoselic, Dave Grohl, and Pat Smear. And it's voiced by Paul McCartney.
Sir Paul McCartney.
Sir. And it's called...
I think what is pretty great about that song is that I can hear Dave Grohl singing it too.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can tell that he wrote that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he just gave the lyrics to McCartney, was like, you know, just run with it. I was thinking about this, you know, approach to it, but do what you want to do. Or if he had like a demo version of it.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is how I want it sung or whatever. Because very like the vocal style was really similar to Dave Grohl.
Yeah, I can hear his thing, which I mean my mind is sort of blown by this song in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
Because like it's you know, being acknowledged in the press as the Nirvana reunion.
Yeah.
Nirvana reunites with Paul McCartney, but it's not a Nirvana song.
No.
It doesn't sound like a Nirvana song. And in fact, something hilarious just happened because I was saying earlier today how I thought it sounds like the Beatles.
Yeah.
To me, it really sounds like a Abbey Road era Beatles song. And this is coming from somebody who doesn't even listen to the Beatles, you know?
Yeah.
And Deanna just overhearing it, she's like, is that the Beatles?
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome. And I like the idea too that, that it wasn't just, I want to believe that it wasn't just Dave Grohl being like, well, who are some celebrities I can sing on this album? Paul McCartney's huge. I'll do it.
Right.
I mean, I think it really is like, it's almost like he tailored the song to that style, or he thought Paul McCartney would work with this, you know? But anyway, I think I want to end on this note because I am attempting, I don't really do New Year's resolutions, but I have this idea in my head that I'm going to make peace with the Beatles this year.
Wow.
I'm going to go back. I don't know how I'm going to do it yet. I'm going to know if I'm going to do it chronologically or what, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to revisit every Beatles album and I'm going to see if things have changed and if I've come around or if
you
I still
and
don't like them.
You may or may not have done this already, but I would encourage you to. One of the things that for me really that took me beyond just sort of liking a few Beatles songs and kind of made me feel like the band was a really important band. Is watching the documentary that came out 10 years ago or so. And it was, what was it called? It's like a 10-part documentary. It just sort of charts.
Oh, I remember that. I remember seeing
the anthology.
Set.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And if you can somehow get your hands on that, that's got it sort of takes you through their history and walks you through it in a way that I think, at least, you know, for us, not being around when they did what they did, you kind of lose all that stuff when all you hear is the music, you know. And I think that adds a lot to the context. So I'd advise that.
All right.
That song also felt like a '90s song.
Yeah, I can kind of
the guitar riffs,
the heaviness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can end it however you want, but I'm ending it. I'm really ending it with this song. I'm the one who has the final track, not you. So this is, I apologize. It's no longer the season. This is sort of a Christmas song. but I just totally... No matter when I hear it, I feel like it's a cold winter morning, and it's quiet, and I'm relaxed and totally sort of, you know, taking a breath and kind of sitting there and just enjoying it. This is, I got to find it again.
Let me ask you this. Are we going out on this one?
Should we go out on it?
Yeah.
I think we could just go out on this one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thought I had it there. I don't have it there. I have it somewhere else. And if you'll just excuse me for a moment. You know, so we can go out on this one because you know it. I'm pretty sure you know it. And I hope that
you like it as much as I do, because even though it is a Christmas song, it's got a lot more to it than just that. Here we go. This is the Vince Guaraldi Trio, and this is the instrumental version of Christmas Time Is Here. And I just encourage you to get a mug of cocoa, go outside in the snow, play the song, and just totally relax.
Done.